And Paul Bongiorno, the contributing editor with the Ten Network, is with us now. Hello, Paul.
Hi there, James.
So Luke Simpkins, they're saying he doesn't want the family of Khalid Sharouf back. It's not really a question of what he or anyone else wants, is it? Sharouf's wife and children have already expressed an indication that they want to come back. If they present, there's not a lot the government can do to stop them.
Well, I'm not so sure of that. I understand that their passports would already have been cancelled as well, so the government could play hardball in their regard. That certainly, in their going with Sharouf to support the cause of Islamic State, they are certainly accessories, if I could put it that way. So it is difficult. The other thing is the enormous damage that's been done, especially to the children. The holding up of the severed head would raise real issues about the mental health of these kids, I guess.
Certainly it would. I mean, unspeakable horror. But that's not a grounds for allowing or disallowing an entry into the country. And are we aware that the children's passports have been cancelled?
Well, no, I must say I'm not aware of that. Just listening to what our Foreign Minister, Julie Bishop's saying, is that she seems to be giving the issues some thought. So maybe we have to wait and see how it plays out.
And in any event, even if the passports have been cancelled, if they engage a people smuggler to enable them to get to Australian territory, an Australian citizen need only present at the border with or without travel documents and one must be admitted.
Okay, well, if they try that route, I'll be interested to see what the outcome is. Well,
it certainly will, but this raises...
They can use you as a consultant, James.
But it raises the broader point of the complexity of trying to prevent the entry or exit of Australian citizens from Australia.
Yes, I think that is a broad point. In maybe saner times, people who would be considered dangerous to the community would be monitored or charged with something and maybe put in jail. How you deal with kids that are 7 and 8 is probably a more problematic issue.
Now, looking at this legislation, this amendment to Section 35 of the Citizenship Act, what's your assessment of this? Has the government got it right with the judicial review incorporated into it?
Well, we're talking about judicial review. Yesterday, I spoke to a couple of fairly senior legal types who said to me that the proposal put up by Malcolm Turnbull is fairly simple and probably a good remedy, because if you just extend Section 35 so that there's an automatic stripping of citizenship because you've fought with a foreign... Now, they're going to extend the definition from a foreign army to a non-state actor like Islamic State, that they automatically lose your citizenship. Now, they don't even have to make an announcement that you've done that. You'd probably find out if you decided, oh, I want to go back to Australia, you turn up at the nearest Australian embassy or consulate or whatever, and you find you're not an Australian any longer, you don't have a passport, and you can't go back. So any challenge to that, now it's interesting to hear Luke Simpkins say, well, they could probably engage a lawyer in Australia to then challenge it. Now, the challenge would be made in a court in Australia. Now, if they tried to come back to do that, they'd be stopped at the border, wouldn't get entry. Maybe they could mount a challenge there and it would go to a court of law. And maybe it could a lawyer in Australia could mount a challenge in a court of law in Australia. And as a result, that overcomes any difficulty with the High Court. So it does seem that that's the way the government's gone.
So it will be a ministerial determination that...
No.
No.
No, no. The law would set a trigger that is automatic, that if you fight with a foreign army against Australia or a non-state actor against Australia, that's the broadening of Section 35, then you've automatically lost your citizenship. Now,
but ultimately a human being has to decide whether or not someone has fought with a foreign terrorist non-state actor army.
Well, for example, it could be noted by immigration that you're in Iraq or Syria and you're there, so your name's put on a list, and it could well be that the minister may be called upon to declare this. So the minister would have, and this is what Scott Morrison indicated or hinted yesterday, that the minister, the immigration minister, would then declare that this has happened if he was called upon to do so.
I see. And what about, turning to other matters, the government has ruled out this proposal in the Federation White Paper to charge wealthier parents to send their kids to government schools. What are your thoughts here?
Well, it's just fascinating that this option is put in the White Paper, and there's another option today, James, about basically handing all health funding back to the states. Again, you wonder why these options are being put there, especially if the government immediately runs away from it. The plan used to be you put out a paper, you put things that can be discussed there that are worthy of discussion and even defending, seeing how the argument goes. But yesterday, of course, when we saw any suggestion that education, public education in Australia would be no longer free, secular and compulsory, the federal education minister, and indeed later in the afternoon, the prime minister at question time, ran away at 100 miles an hour, which if they really seriously wanted a broader discussion, maybe they should have hung in for a little bit longer. What I think it really does is shows that the agenda of the Abbott government, and indeed the prime minister has said this, he wants smaller government, is for the feds to get out of the way of the states. Now, how far that means they're prepared to go, and it means all the way, and we saw a suggestion of that in the first budget from the Abbott government, that, and this is why the states keep using the figure of $80 billion over 10 years be withdrawn from health and education, that if that's their true agenda, it's going to meet a lot of resistance, even from liberal states, or maybe particularly from liberal states.
Paul Bongiorno, thank you very much.
Thanks, James. Bye.
Bye-bye. He is the contributing editor at the 10 Network.